Blog Talk Radio.
And I guess we're here on a Monday, 12 noon, a little bit different, different network. We're here for the moment. And we're enjoying the moment. This is Ted Hicks, Late Night Parents. A little bit of a different show today. I mean, we're still going to have the same subject matter experts on the show, but we're doing it at noon. We're trying something new. Are we really trying something new, or are we just covering our bases for this week's Wednesday show? Regardless, however you're listening to this show, this is Ted Hicks, Late Night Parents. Find me on Twitter, Real Ted Hicks. You can find the show's Twitter handle at Late Night Parent. Catch us on Facebook.com/Late Night Parents. The portal, LateNightParents.com. And for those of you that are lazy, it's LNP.TV. Happy to be here. As I mentioned, live on the Jimagination Network. Excuse me, Jimagination Unlimited Network for today. A lot of great things going on for the new year, new partnerships, jumpstarting other networks. But we're happy to be here. Did I say we were happy to be here? Slight scheduling snafu with live shows on Happy Hour Network. Nothing has changed. So we're here on a different dial-up today. If you are listening live, it's area code 646-727-1963. We have two subject matter experts today. Dr. Cleet Boulash, who's going to be discussing his book, Creating a Culture for High-Performing Schools, a Comprehensive Approach to School Reform and Dropout Prevention. And that'll be happening at 5 minutes past the hour. At 30 minutes past the hour, we're going to have none other than the legend, C.S. Keys, joining us to talk about what's happening in the NFL, in the National Football League. So we're talking about violence in the schools. With one guest, another guest is talking about violence in the NFL, the $10 billion baby. So before we get started with our guests, want to thank all of our partners that stream the show, that repost it on their podcast sites. You guys know who you are. You and I are One Radio, Life Improvement Radio, NGS Sports that powers us on the iHeartRadio app, Arena Sports Network, I-95 Sports Network, just to name a few, FSC Radio in Philadelphia. Want to say thank you. Lot to cover here. I'll get started by saying, heading down, name the show Black Friday. Why? Because all that craziness happens when you should be thinking about family time and what to say around the table when you're sharing that time with your family. People are all caught up with Black Friday shopping. So we will get into that later on. I'm not sure if you are a Black Friday shopper or not. I'm not condemning anyone, but I'm saying every year it starts earlier and earlier and earlier. And you think about, you know, the big chain stores that are, you know, opening Thanksgiving at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Where is that family time? When do you have time to give thanks? Just a few things to think about. As I mentioned, we're on the Jimagination Network today, 646-727-1963, if you want to call in. For those folks that are streaming the pod, it will show up on latenightparents.com as it usually does. But I guess without further ado, we're going to get in, because at 5 minutes past the hour, which it is now, our first scheduled guest. So I have the pleasure of bringing on Dr. Cleet Boulash, who uses his book, Creating a Culture for High-Performing Schools, a Comprehensive Approach to School Reform and Dropout Prevention, and basically discuss what's going on in the schools today, these tragic school shootings that seem to happen time and time again. And we have to look at this violence that has plagued our educational system. So without further ado, we'll bring on our first featured guest. Dr. Cleet, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing just fantastic here in Georgia today. Sun's shining, beautiful day.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. A little bit cooler in New York, but
I'll take it.
I'll take it. So, Dr. Cleet, we'll get right into it. We have a problem going on nowadays, because I work at a higher educational institution. The one thing I do note is the amount of shootings that have taken place just in this calendar year. That's one option. Number two is just the amount of threats, or the amount of times that some type of malicious activity has taken place in a higher educational institution. And that's well over 50 or 60 times just this calendar year. I mean, it's making a great deal of money for emergency notification systems. I mean, you know, companies that push that model. But what's going on in the world today?
We have all people have five basic needs. You have five basic needs. I have. Every kid has. Everyone listening has the same five basic needs. Now, and here they are. Number one, and this is not new. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he's identified his five needs. Philosophers from centuries back, going back into the 1800s, have tried to figure out, why do people behave the way they do? That's been the question. And, of course, violence in the schools, why do people do that? And you talk about shooters, move it on down a little bit, there are bullies. A shooter is the worst kind of bully, but they are a bully, and they shoot people for the same reason that bullies victimize people. It all boils down to the five basic needs, and here they are. Number one. Life. Most people want to be alive. They want to survive, right?
Correct.
Yeah, except for the Islamic people who blow themselves up. But they have a different purpose. They believe that they are going to heaven and they will have their eternal reward. So life to them doesn't have the meaning that it has to most Christians or most Americans in our society. So most people want to be alive. That's number one. Number two, most people want moments of happiness, right? There are times if you were never happy, that would not be a very good life, right?
Not at all.
Okay, so that's the second reason. Most people want moments of happiness. Number three, control. And that's been talked about going back to Nietzsche in the late 1900, who spoke of power and control. Most people want to have some form of power so they can have some control over what happens in their life. Ted, for example, when you're totally out of control, how do you feel?
I would say I'm not feeling at my best.
No.
If I'm totally not in control, it's a little hazy.
Yeah, but on the other extreme, when you have control of what's happening, like you and I right now, we have control, right?
Correct.
That is a good feeling. A shooter normally does not, they believe they've lost control. And you can look at all of the shooters, the Colorado shooter, the Oregon shooter, the Connecticut shooter who went into the school and shot all those kids in that elementary school. All of those people believed they had lost control. Take the Connecticut shooter, for example. His mom is going to send him away to a institution because she can no longer control him. So he is going to lose control of his life. So when you get a gun and you've got a gun in your hand and your finger on the trigger, you have control. They have that gives them control. So that's the third basic need. And you look at anything that's happening in the world today. You look at the bombings in Paris. That's all about control. Those people, those terrorists, they wanted to control what was happening in that theater, the concert hall, and the restaurant. It's all about control. You look at what's happening in the Middle East with the terrorists and the countries going in there and us with our planes and the bombs. It's all about control. You look at what's happening in Congress today with our president and the House of Representatives and the Senate. It's a big control thing. You agree with all that? All of life is a struggle about control. That's my opinion. What are your thoughts on that, Ted? Hello?
Yes, Cleet, I'm here. I'm sorry, I had you on mute. I just wanted to make sure it was coming through as clear as possible.
Oh, well, I've got the speaker on. Is it better if I turn it off?
Oh, no. This is perfect. This was on my end. I wanted to make sure you were coming through as clear as possible.
Well, I said all of life is about control. You look at what's happening in the Middle East. You look at what's happening with Congress, the president, and Congress. It's all about control. And you look at the debates. Each candidate speaking is trying to control what happens so they come out on top. Isn't that
correct?
What you see as well?
Correct.
Okay.
That is.
The third basic need is control, and that's the big one when it comes to violence in our schools. The shooter or the bully is taking control back. For some reason in their life, they've lost control, and they feel like they have to get control back. And when you put a gun in their hand and put their finger on the trigger, they are in control. And that's sad, but that is true. That's the third basic need. Here's the fourth basic need. Caring. Everybody listening out there needs to feel like somebody cares about them as a person. That is a basic need. To know that somebody cares about you. If you woke up one morning and realized that nobody cares about you, and you know, when I think of Jackson dying with all that money and all the singing that he, I believe he thought that the only reason people liked him was because of his money. I don't think he believed that people cared about him as a person. And that's why he went to the drugs. Drugs, when people are not in control, and he had some control issues, but drugs was his way to get control back. And he didn't believe people cared about him. And the shooters, the violence that's going on in our schools, you take that kid in Connecticut who went in at the elementary school. He believed his mom didn't care about him anymore. You take the Oregon shooter, he couldn't get a girlfriend. You take these people going from the United States into ISIS and becoming those soldiers over there, one of the things they're promised is a wife. Because most of these people going over there, they don't have girlfriends. They don't have a reason for life here in the United States. They've lost their purpose here in the U.S. So they go over there and become ISIS soldiers because they're promised a wife, they're promised money, they're promised a purpose. And that's the fifth reason for why people behave the way they do, purpose. And I'm not alone in saying this. Dr. Mehmet Oz, Dr. Rick Warren, the Dalai Lama, they all state that life with no purpose is no life. So you put that mixture together, purpose, caring, control, happiness. And if you have a person who is not happy at times, has no control, has no purpose, and believes nobody cares about them, their life isn't worth living. So they're going to do something. They're going to become a homeless person. They're going to go to drugs. They're going to go to alcohol, or they're going to get a gun, and they're going to shoot somebody, or they're going to commit suicide. And that's the basic thing. Now, relating that to our schools, and I've done research on hundreds of schools, and I've got the documentation. It's on my website. It's documented in my book. There are many kids who go to school with no purpose, and I interviewed thousands of students when I had the contract to evaluate the entire state of West Virginia. I said, why do you go to school? And they said, well, we have to. I said, you don't have any other reason for going to school? Nah. If I didn't have to go, I wouldn't go. I don't like school. I hate school. So kids go to school because they have to. They have no reason for going, about 50% of them. And they go to school believing the other kids don't care about them. They believe the teachers don't care about them. And I have that data. I've done surveyed students on caring behaviors, and they state 50% of them believe the teachers don't care about them. So they have no purpose, believe the teachers don't care, believe the other kids don't care. They are not happy, and they have no control in school because they have to study what they're told to study. They have to obey the rules or get sent to the office. So you got kids going to school, 50%, have no purpose, have no control, believe nobody cares, and they're not happy. How are they going to learn?
True.
Now you have the other 50%,
okay,
who are succeeding in school because they're there to get the grades and they're getting them. The teachers like them, and they're in control, and you know they have a purpose. They know that good grades are going to get them something, and they succeed. But the other 50% do not. The latest report out of the federal departments with the resignation of Arne Duncan, the secretary, shows that over the past 8 years, there's been no progress made on test scores.
Okay.
The focus has been on test scores. There's been no improvement on test scores, despite millions and millions of dollars the feds have doled out in Race to the Top. There has been no improvement because that's what the book is written. That's why I wrote the book. There are six reasons for low test scores. Number one is the five basic needs of kids and teachers are not being met. There are many teachers who are frustrated because they are totally controlled by central office. They are told what to teach. They are told what tests are going to be given. They have to teach to the test. They're not happy. They can't control the students, so they're not in control of the classroom. And it's just a nightmare out there. if you just think about it, you know, for the last, going back to Bush and before Bush, they've been trying to improve schools out of the Federal Department of Education, and nothing has worked.
Dr. Cleet, I want to jump in here and say two things.
Go ahead.
One, Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Life, a must-read.
Yeah.
A must-read.
Yes.
And number two, I was going to say to you, in regards to low test scores, in regards to trying to fix education, does Common Core help or hurt the situation?
Hurts. And here's the reason why. almost all the stuff coming out of the feds deals with curriculum, with what teachers teach. Trying to control what teachers teach, the Common Core gives everybody in the United States a Common Core. Well, in Alaska, what's important in Alaska is not what's important in Florida or in New York City or in Atlanta. What's important in the city schools in Atlanta is not what's important in Peachtree City, one of the wealthiest school districts in the state in terms of the salaries of the people who live in that community. Peachtree City is where all the airport pilots live. They're very, very wealthy. Common Core for them versus Common Core for the city of Atlanta versus Alaska. Why have a Common Core? You know, every community has a different, should have a different curriculum based on what's important in that area. Common Core is a disaster. The feds try to improve schools by focusing on curriculum. Here's the six reasons why that will not work. Number one, the school climate in most schools is not good. In the state of Georgia, they surveyed 2,600 schools in the state of Georgia on climate, and only 10% had a really good climate. 10%. Well, you know, when you walk into a school and the people don't get along and don't feel good about what's going on in that school, how are you going to get good test scores out of that? Number two, the five basic needs aren't being met. Number three, power and control. There's an overemphasis on control in schools. When people try to control you, Ted, do you resist?
Of course you do.
It's a natural human tendency. The more people try to control you, you resist. Well, if you have discipline problems in a school, the teachers have to control more and more and more and more. The administration has to control more and more and more. And the more you control, the bigger the problem gets. That's one of the problems. Now, in my book, our book, we talk about how to give control to people without giving it up, because if you're a school principal or a teacher, you cannot give up control. But you have to give control to the kids without giving it up. There
right.
are a number of techniques you can do to do that, and we probably don't have time to get into that here, but if you want to talk about how do you give control to people without giving it up, we can do that.
Dr. Klee, go ahead. Go right ahead. We have a few minutes.
The fourth reason for low test scores is levels of openness and trust. Teachers don't trust administrators. Teachers don't trust each other. They are not
right.
open with each other. They're afraid to say things because it'll come back to haunt them. So levels of openness and trust are not what they ought to be, and I've got the data to prove that. And just think for a minute, Ted. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What happens in your relationship with your wife if you don't trust each other? If you're not open with each other and don't trust each other, the relationship goes south. Well, that's what's going on. I've got the data on 11 variables in schools. Levels of openness and trust are always the two lowest variables. And then the other reason is the way parents are involved. Parents tend to be involved in elementary schools, but when you get to middle and high schools, they're shut out. The parents don't feel comfortable in those settings, so they're shut out. Well, you get the kids for 6 hours a day, 180 days a year, and then they go home for the other 18 hours and in the community for the other 18 hours. There's no reinforcement of what happens in the schools in those other 18 hours a day or those other 180 days a year. There's no reinforcement, and that's another big problem. How do you get the parents involved? Because one of the biggest problems with many schools is the parents. The parents at home are not good citizens. You know, they're on welfare. They're single-parent families. They are not good role models for their kids. And we're talking, you know, roughly, 30 or 40% of these parents who need help. They need to be educated in their own way. Chapter 5 in the book shows how to do that with a character education program that involves parents in the community. And right now, you know, when I interviewed the teachers in West Virginia, I said, what do you like about your schools? And they said, the parents. And I said, what don't you like about them? And they said, the parents. I said, whoa, wait a minute. They said, well, the parents, many of these parents undo everything we try to get these kids to do when they go home. So you've got to involve the parents in a meaningful way in the schools if you're going to significantly impact the behavior of the students. Now, I'm talking about behavior. I'm not talking about test scores. The behavior of the kids when they come into these classrooms, you know, the teacher is up there. Sit down. Be quiet. Give me that note. Where's your homework? Where's your book? And on with behavior. That's one of the biggest problems with our schools today. The time lost to the instructional process because teachers have to correct the misbehavior of students. That is number one. I'd say 30 days a year of instruction are lost because teachers have to stop teaching to correct kids. On an average hourly day classroom, teachers have to stop 5 to 10 times every class period to correct misbehavior in the classroom. That's time lost. Where do you want to go from here, Ted?
Unbelievable. We're gonna wrap this up right now because I think we're going to need to have you come back for a one-on-one where we can have a little bit more time because we have another guest in the queue. Dr. Cleet, want to thank you. And for the most part,
give the listeners my website if they want to look up any of the other stuff I've been talking about. Do you have it?
Oh, yes, I have it, but you go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay, it's WestGA, West Georgia, WestGA abbreviated, .edu, / tilt, that little squiggly up in the left-hand corner of the keyboard, and C Bulach, B-U-L-A-C-H, and all your stuff will come up.
That's wonderful. We're going to post it on the Late Night Parents site. Want to say thank you. Also, where can we get your book?
Oh, it's on my website or Amazon.com. Put in the last name, Bulach, and culture, school culture, climate, and it should come up.
Got you. Dr. Cleet, thanks so much. We want to definitely have you back in the near future. Thanks for taking the time today.
I appreciate it, Ted, and good luck to your brother.
All right. Thanks again. And that was Dr. Cleet Bulach joining us to talk about creating a culture for high-performing schools, a comprehensive approach to school reform and dropout prevention. I shared with Dr. Cleet recently my brother-in-law was in a motorcycle accident, and I'm going to see him for Thanksgiving. He's on the road to recovery. They've been all thumbs up. Rehab is scheduled to get started very shortly, and really excited about that. During the first week, I think second week of December, I'll be in the Prince George County of Virginia, doing some work down there, collectively helping him along with the rest of the family to getting back on his feet and doing everything that he needs to do to, re-jumpstart his life. Accidents are what they are, so that is kind of where we are. So it was great to have Dr. Cleet come through and talk with us about what's happening in schools, because we see about these massive shootings and everything that's happening. And we need to know the steps to, it's like you kind of need to know where the root cause is happening. Why is this stuff happening? How do we prevent it? We discussed Common Core. We discussed bullying. We discussed overall violence. But this program right here, the episode is for Black Friday. So real quickly, I'm not sure who's going to be out there on Friday doing, you know, shopping or waiting on lines at these box stores or these franchise stores. But you guys, you got to be careful out there, because every year we watch on TV and people are getting trampled and, you know, all that insanity. There's something called the internet. There's something called Cyber Monday, where you can get the same deal, if not now, already. Because if you notice on TV, everyone's reporting that, hey, you can get this deal right now. So you don't have to stand out on the line. Don't put your life on the line for a 4K TV for $300. Why? Folks, because they only have about seven of them in that store. And there you are standing out there tussling around with people over this type of stuff. Okay? I guess that was my PSA from me to you. But without further ado, we have a second guest in the queue. I would say I like to call him a legend, none other than a good CS Keys from out in San Diego, California, where we'll spend some time talking about the NFL. CS, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, I can't call. How you doing, my man?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show because, I don't know, you don't feel like a guest. It feels like you're right at home because as often as I've been on your show to talk whatever the sports is or whatever the topic is, I wanted to extend that because there's something going on in the NFL. I don't even know where to start, so I'll throw out topics to you, CS, and you tell me your thoughts on it.
Let's roll with it.
I'm going to say two words. It's one name, Cam Newton.
Superman Cam. Superman Cam. Like he said last week, which I thought was a great quote from him when some of the other players on the other team were complaining about him dancing the end zone. Like he said, then keep me out the end zone.
Right.
Right now, you can't keep him out. Carolina, I'm going to say, is a surprise. Their defense is not a surprise to me, but the offense is the biggest surprise. And his maturity, meaning Cam's maturity, has really come to the forefront. Carolina's looking tough, man. They're looking tough.
They're looking tough. And I'm going to tell you, I was a little pissed off last week because I wanted to speak with you last week one-on-one, and I think I should have just picked up the phone when everyone should have been talking about back then the 9-0 Panthers a week ago. They were talking about what some lady wrote, some letter she wrote.
Oh, yeah,
about
gyrations
and all of this other stuff. And come on.
Like it was said before, you know, Aaron Rodgers gets commercial out of doing his dance. And then Cam wants to get criticized for doing his. So, you know, I'm not going to go as far as the racial thing, but I'm going to go as far as the racial thing. Because that's what it is. I mean,
that's what it is.
Come on.
Come on, CS. Come on. Hey, want to know your thoughts on, I mean, we all kind of know this was the beginning of the end for Peyton Manning, but do we have is it too soon to say we have a quarterback controversy?
No, I wouldn't say that because I thought last year, as he started to decline last year, and of course we found out there was an injury to his leg, I believe it was. But last year, the second half of the year, Peyton was not looking like the Peyton of old. And that's just Father Time. Father Time is undefeated. And once one injury comes, every other injury is going to come about. And this year, from the beginning, from week one, Peyton wasn't looking good. I mean, I know Bronco fans out here in San Diego who were just hating on Peyton because he wasn't really producing like he used to produce back in the day. And now it comes to fruition that he's got another injury. But I don't think there's a controversy at all. I think Brock Osweiler, they've been grooming him for a number of years to be his backup, be his replacement, and right now they're just going to see what they have in him.
I think that's fair. So tell me, is Jameis Winston a boss?
I have so many conflicting thoughts about him. I hope it's not the case, but I know he's an accident waiting to happen. There are certain things that are just you, and he can try and be, you know, say the right things, do the right things. He's like Johnny Manziel. Something's going to happen sooner or later because it's your personality. And that's why that's the feel I get for Jameis Winston. Something's going to pop up. He's going to steal more crab legs. He's going to do something stupid that's going to make the news again. And, you know, who you are is who you are. You can't hide it. And to me, that's that feel I have about him. He's just going, something's going to happen to him that he's going to blow up.
Tell me about, we got to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Because we get it from I get it from a lot of people on Twitter, and I'm sure you do too. The Cowboys and Greg Hardy.
Oh
my God. I mean, and you had asked me some questions about Greg Hardy last year on your show, the CSK show, about Greg Hardy, and we were both, I guess we both felt uncomfortable. What is your take on Greg Hardy and Jerry Jones and Just the blow
this
up.
Is my,
on,
this is my thing.
Yeah.
This is my thing. I read the transcript of the original trial, and I had said then, if anybody would just read the transcript, he wouldn't be in the league at all. And now all of a sudden the pictures come out after he signed with the Cowboys, and
right.
It's exactly what I said. Now you see what was written. The only reason why he wasn't in jail is because he paid the girl off. Everybody knows that. It's a known fact. He paid her off. And he's really shown no attrition. He's shown no apologetic, I mean, nothing. Even on the sidelines when he blew up with Dez, that showed you Greg Hardy. And that showed you a little bit about what she may have saw in him. This was controlled on the sideline. When they were by themselves, he just went ballistic. But there's no way in the world, and I never advocate anybody losing their job or anything like that. But when you're getting paid millions of dollars and you do something like that, and you, and as Jerry Jones would say, he's a leader on my team, there's something wrong there.
So what's happened? Is Jerry Jones just lost his mind?
Jerry is all about trying to get that W. He's trying to chase that championship, which I don't think is going to happen this year. I mean, they're way too far in the hole this year. Tony Romo comes back yesterday. They get a W. I think it was more the poor Miami Dolphins defense than it was Tony Romo coming back. But it's a good story. Tony Romo comes back. They get a W. Okay, no problem. But they're still going to be the Dallas Cowboys. They're not going anywhere. They were building and they were chasing for a championship this year, but injuries got the best of them with Dez and Romo and things of this manner. And even, what's his name, Sean Lee, who could never stay healthy on defense. But they're not going anywhere this year. But Jerry Jones is all about making that mighty dollar, getting that hype. He is the best hyped owner in the world. I got to give him credit for that. Dallas Cowboys will always be in a conversation because of Jerry Jones.
See, let's talk about it. I mean, and you did his words for me, the bungle.
The bungle in the jungle. You know what? They are a surprise, though. But the last couple of games, they've stumbled or they bungled. but I think they will make the playoffs. Whether they're going to do what they always do in the playoffs is a big question, because that's one of the hurdles they got to get over. Marvin Lewis has been, I think, 13 years now he's been at the helm with the Cincinnati, and not a playoff win yet. Like I said, I never advocate for nobody losing their job. But if you're a head coach that long, and you haven't produced in the playoffs, it's about time to open up the one ads.
And that's what's so amazing, because you and I have spoken in the past, and I said, I'm a fan of Marvin Lewis, and I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it.
No, I don't know how he can. I mean, the family that owns the Bengals, the Browns, I think it's Paul Brown's son, or whatever his name is, they must be the most lenient people. I want to get a job there. I won't worry about losing my job.
We got to touch upon Greg Hardy. I mean, we touched upon Greg Hardy. We don't want to do that again. We want to touch upon the Cardinals and Carson Palmer, because I saw something over the last 2 weeks. I mean, I guess the infinite wisdom of the NFL – with showcasing them 2 weeks in a row on Sunday Night Football.
Thursday
are they the real deal? Are they the real deal?
Yeah, Arizona was the real deal last year. Their problem was that he got hurt last year. I mean, he got hurt without even having a football, you know, incident. It was just a freak accident when he blew his Achilles again, or excuse me, ACL. But Carson and the Cardinals were the real deal last year. But now this year, they're clicking on all cylinders. He's looking really good. But I've seen that in Carson before in Cincinnati. It just didn't work out in Cincinnati. But right now in Arizona, they got the defense clicking, the offense is clicking, their special teams is clicking. I mean, you got all 53 men on that team focused on one thing, and it's showing on the field.
All right, I got to touch upon, I'm going to say the name. I mean, when we think of Vikings, we usually think of AP. But Teddy Bridgewater, what has he shown you this season so far?
I got to kind of eat my words on Teddy Bridgewater, because last year I was saying, and you know, he's going to be a bust. He's not going to be a very good quarterback. Well, he is. And he has matured so fast. But the thing is, he's got the right people around him. North Turner, who I've always said is not a very good head coach, he's a great offensive coordinator, and he's showing it right now. He's got that offense clicking. He's got Teddy doing the right thing, and they're not asking him to do a whole bunch. When you got AP in the backfield, you don't have to do a whole bunch. Excuse me, his touchdowns are down because they're not asking him to throw a bunch. So he's in the right system. He's in the right position, and he's looking good. He's looking really good.
The other elephant in the room, well, there's two more, but the Chip Kelly experiment, do we pull the plug on this CS?
I think after this year, because I don't know. I'm from Philly, and I know the Philly fans are just eating his ass up right now on radio talk show and everywhere else. Because what he has done, he blew things up just to build it up, but the way he's built it up, it's not working out. It's just not working out. DeMarco Murray goes from being in the conversation of an MVP last year to out of the conversation at all this year. I mean, that's not the right offense for him. And then he has two more backs back there with Matthews and Sproles. Now, Sproles can work out perfect in that offense. And then you got the quarterback situation where I already knew ahead of time that Brett wasn't going to last all year long. He's so injury prone, and now he's hurt again. Then you got Mark Dirty Sanchez back there.
Oh.
You know, he gonna do what he do, throw interceptions. So I mean, after this year, I would definitely look into, you know, having Chip skip.
So I guess the way the Super Bowl ended, everyone in America and abroad was scratching their head with that last play that was called by Darrell Bevell, that was signed off by Pete Carroll. It seems like certain play has continued on this season, but I didn't know that Dan Quinn was the most important person in the Legion of Boom. Well, what's your takes on the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, I think because of the holdout with Cam, that kind of messed up the chemistry back there in the secondary. And then, of course, when you look at it, they're not looking the same on defense like they did last year, not just the Legion of Boom, but the defensive line, the linebackers, and more importantly, that offensive line is offensive. But to their excuse, they've got tight ends at tackle. They got defensive tackles at guard. So you got different people in different positions that never played it before and trying to find their way through the season, where you should be doing that in the offseason, but now, of course, the season is here. So there's a lot of different pieces in wrong places right now in Seattle. Will they get it together? I think they will, because there's too much there, and they've built too much to just let it fall apart. But I think they'll get it together, but I just don't know, you know, what the damage will be by the time they get it together.
I had the pleasure of, I would say roughly about a month ago, I visited San Francisco. I went there for the Seattle against San Francisco Thursday night football game. It was, excuse my language, it's a shit show out there in San Francisco. I saw the 49er faithful leaving at the second quarter. People were blasting Kaepernick. And now that he's on the season-ending IR, like, wow.
Well, he said, on that? He said a few weeks ago he's not coming back to San Francisco. So for him to go to, and this is what happened. He went to management and had the coaching staff and said, I'm getting a surgery, so put me on IR. He asked them to put him on IR. He's done that. He doesn't want to be there anymore. So when a player comes to you and tells you, I'm going to give me an operation, put me in IR, everything, basically his clothes are packed. He just hasn't put him in a car yet. But he's going to be gone, and he said he wanted to be out of there. And things have just imploded in San Francisco. Since Harbaugh left, things have just started blowing up in their face. You got young guys who are retiring, you know, in their second and third year.
Right.
Dudes are just – it's a mass exodus out the door before the season started. So, I mean, there's a lot in San Francisco that's got to be fixed.
We're going to head towards Indianapolis, where the feel-good story a couple of seasons ago were with Chuck Strong and Bruce Arians. I mean, now we have Andrew Luck with a lacerated spleen, and he wasn't playing good, and, you know, there's issues going on with management and Pagano. What's happening there?
I don't think Chuck's going to last this year. I think he'll last the end of the year, but he won't last past this year. I don't know what the deal is with that. That's falling apart so quick. And that just goes to show you, you know, one day you could be the hero. Next day you could be the zero. That's just life in the NFL. I mean, so you might as well enjoy your time at the top as long as you can, because you will see the bottom again sooner or later. I mean, but it's unfortunate, but that's the name of the game. And you have injuries, and you know, injuries in the NFL, it's to be expected. People kill me always bringing up injuries, this, injuries, that. Here in San Diego, this team is terrible at 2-8.
Right.
And yesterday got blown out by 30, 33-3. And people want to – the Charger fans want to say injuries. I got on the radio and told them point blank, stop it. Just stop it. The Steelers have the most players on IR at 14. The Patriots have the second most at 13. The Patriots are undefeated. And the Steelers are 6-4. I mean, they're still winning because they have guys on there that are ready to play. If you make a 53-man roster, that tells me you can play in the NFL. So if you are still losing and using injuries as an excuse, that means your personnel is terrible. You got the wrong people on the field.
Let's talk about the Oakland Raiders. I think you hold them near and dear.
That's right.
There's a little resurgence going on out there. Murray Cooper is the real deal.
I love what Jack Del Rio's doing, man. I love what he's doing. I love the coaching staff he's put together. Ken Norton Jr., defensive coordinator, is kicking it.
Yes.
The offense is looking great. In the last 3 years, their draft choices have been outstanding and are going to be the nucleus of the team for years to come. You got Khalil Mack on the defensive side, Amari Cooper. You got Derek Carr, who I said last year is going to be a stud, and he's a stud right now. They're still making some young mistakes, which is to be expected, but they're going to do a lot better this year than they did last year. I said they're going to finish at 10-6. I may be over-exaggerating a little bit, but wherever they finish this year, 9-7, 10-6, is going to be a hell of an improvement. And wait till I give it two more years, the silver and black is going to make that attack.
Wow. So I guess we have to talk about the Patriots.
Why not?
What's your thoughts on the Patriots? I mean, it's Tom Brady, it's Giselle, it's Gronk, and it's Belichick. But what else can we say about them?
It's a system that works. Like Belichick says to everybody, just do your job. Don't worry about somebody else. You do your damn job. And they've got injuries all across the board in New England. But every person that steps up, they do exactly what Belichick says. Do your job. And they're still rolling. Tonight should be a hell of a game with the Bills and your boy Ryan. I mean, Rex, sexy Rexy, you know, he knows how to put his foot in his mouth, but, you know, he
yes,
got stuck on his toes anyway. But, but it's going to be interesting tonight on that game. But the Patriots are the Patriots, man. I got to give them credit. It's a hell of an organization. They run it the right way. They get the right people in there, be it free agents or draft picks. Very quiet about going with their business, and they do their damn job. And now look at them. They're 9-0. Could be 10-0 after tonight.
Hey, want to shift gears a little bit, and we're talking with the great CS Keys from CS Keys Show. Find him on Twitter. CS, let's talk about movers and shakers. Let's talk about NFL going global, NFL on Yahoo. Well, what's your take on NFL and their global movement?
Well, the NFL is the greatest game going, period. They know it. They're making billions and billions and billions of dollars. And sometimes when you make that much money and you get that much exposure and you're at the top of the game, you think you can do a lot of different things. This London crap needs to stop. at first it was just one game in London. Now the last couple of years has been two games in London, and now Jacksonville's locked in, for 4 years now to be in London. It's ridiculous. First of all, football over there is soccer, and that's dominant. No problem. Soccer will never be dominant here in the United States. But the London thing has to stop. Even the players and the coaching staff, they all hate it. Because even though if you're going to London, you're going to buy the next week, but you're still not, you know, recouped from traveling all the way over there in the first place. So
right.
It's not going to be a movement over in London. I know it's a moneymaker. That's all it is. But they need to stop that.
Let's talk about relocation. The Rams, the Chargers, the Raiders, the arms race has started. What's your take on who's moving where and why?
Well,
and does it make
everybody
sense?
Everybody needs to realize that the people who are going to decide it are the 32 owners. They got to vote on it. There's also a relocation price you got to pay. I'm hearing anywhere from $500 to $600 million to go to a certain place. L.A. last year, I think it was November last year, they did a city council vote. They wanted either Rams or the Raiders to come. Not one person said anything about the Chargers. And that's why I tell people here in San Diego, in order for the Chargers to move, you have to be wanted to go somewhere. Don't nobody want to ask. So they're going to be right here in San Diego, and all they're trying to do right now is position themselves to get what they want from a stadium standpoint. I get that. That's business. No problem. But my take, the Rams will be there because Kroenke has his own money. He doesn't need the city to give him any kind of money. He's got his own money. So he's going to be there. Rams will be there. Raiders, I'm not too sure of, but they were very successful when they were in L.A. before, won two championships there. I think Oakland wants to keep them right where they're at, and I think Davis will probably figure something out with the city to get that done. But the Chargers are going to be right here in San Diego because they don't know about what the mass in L.A.
Privatized money always wins over public funding.
Yes, it do.
Want to talk about the rash of injuries. I mean, my fantasy league, everyone's fantasy leagues are shot, but we're noticing when now that we have, you know, on a constant Sunday football, Thursday football, Monday football, you have football out in London. you tell me these guys are not healing. And I mean, yesterday, our boy Joe Flacco, Mr. Elite.
Yeah.
Down goes Flacco. So how do we fix this?
Well, the thing is, ever since the new CBA came out, the collective bargaining agreement, a couple of years ago, and they cut down on the two-a-days, they cut down on the things and practices you're supposed to do, I said back then that you're going to see so many injuries because you need that constant contact in practice because you have to get your body prepared to be hit to hit. And since they cut things back like that, that's all you've been seeing is injuries left and right because guys' bodies aren't prepared. They tried to make it lighter on themselves, and now they're making it harder on themselves because they're not conditioned properly. You can't do the things you used to do in the off season. You can't work out two and three times, you know, during the OTAs or even in preseason. You cut down on your physical hit during preseason. And that kind of stuff takes its toll on the body in the sense that your body's not prepared to play. And that's the reason why you're seeing all these injuries.
You got it. CS, if you were looking into a crystal ball, tell me who do you see this year potentially playing in Super Bowl 50?
If I was looking into a crystal ball, Lucy Liu would be my wife. And then she needs to stop calling me. But the way it looks right now, man, it looks like it's going to be a crash – head first crash course with New England and Carolina, because both of those squads are balling, man. If the playoffs were to start right now, those teams have hit their stride and they're maintaining it. So right now, the way it looks, I mean, they're both undefeated. So I mean, it's an easy call for some people. But if you look at the team itself on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, special teams, the backups, it looks like New England and Carolina are looking face to face for Super Bowl 50.
Oh, my goodness. CS, I'm going to tell you, it's been so great having you back on this show here. And like I said, the brotherhood continues. Tell us the best ways to get in contact with the great CS Keith.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, my man. You know, Ted, how it goes. But they can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at CS Keith Show. And it's real easy. I respond to everything.
Yes, you do, sir. Yes, you do. So I want to give you a round of applause, CS.
Appreciate it, bud. Appreciate it. Anytime you need it, man, I'm right here for you.
Definitely. Thanks so much, CS.
You got it, buddy.
And that was the great CS Keys. As always, I mean, football aficionado. I'll put CS head-to-head against any of these other so-called podcasters and TV analysts. I really would. But really quick, we're going to wrap up today's show. Want to say thank you to Dr. Cleet Bullock, who's the author of Creating a Culture for High-Performing Schools, a Comprehensive Approach to School Reform and Dropout Prevention, and also the great C.S. Keys, who discussed the latest happenings going on in the NFL. Really quick, a bunch of articles on late-night parents. If you're into that Black Friday type stuff, we have a couple of savings through Wallet Hub. Folks that sponsored the show, we want to thank Turf Mutt. It's bringing together people's families and pets need landscapes to play. Also, we have the American Mothers. They announced their 2016 National Fifth Grade Essay Contest. And I'm going to say, lastly, the 5 tips to maintain balance emotions while caregiving this holiday season. Our friends at the Care Trap. Also, we want you all to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you guys for all that you do. We appreciate you. Listen to the podcast. Visit the site, latenightparents.com. Hit us up. Real Ted Hicks on Twitter or Late Night Parent. You can go to Facebook. Every once in a while, we'll have something up there, or we'll have one of our new blogs. As always, we say thank you for all, and we wish you guys the very best, and be safe out there.